You know, my old job, I was in another church, a larger church, before I came here. And I was one of the staff pastors at that larger church. And I had a number of responsibilities. As a staff pastor, you had to cover certain bases. And I got to speak maybe 3-4 times a year. But I was in charge every day of the maintenance of the facility. I didn't do maintenance, but I had to make sure the janitor did what they did. And in the summer, we went to the heating, and in the winter, we went to cooling. After the winter, you know, and there was an old, antiquated system. We had to have people, special people, come in and take care of that. I also administered the coffee bar and the ushers, and both of those teams had maybe 40 to 45 people on them. So, and there was even a number of services, and so I had to make sure that all the bases were covered and the offering got collected and put in the right place and all of that kind of stuff. And it's perfectly understandable as a staff pastor of a larger church, you have different responsibilities. But as the time went on, I felt like I was not doing what I was made to do, because I'm not really an administrator. I mean, that's not really who I am. And so I began looking for another job. It was a fine job. It's good people. Nothing wrong with that. And I applied for different pastoral positions in a couple of places. And then I met with, through a contact, I met with Jim Cooey at the old service station. And that was maybe about 12 years ago. And the door was open for me to come here. And thrilled to be here. I'm glad to be a part of things right here. I was doing things that absolutely needed to be done. But those tasks weren't necessarily in my wheelhouse. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever volunteered for something at church because it's needed and it didn't really feel like a good fit? Have you ever thought you just did something because, well, nobody else is doing it and I feel guilty because I can't say no really, honestly, here, so I might as well go ahead and do that. How long would you last in a task like that? And you know, if you're doing something you're really not made to do, you end up smiling on the outside and groaning on the inside. And how do you feel when you're doing it? Do you feel pressured? Do you feel lousy? You wonder, why did I volunteer for this? Might you feel like a square church peg in a round church hole? That's possible. Now, let's flip that script upside down. Have you ever done something where you working at that thing and time gets away from you? And all of a sudden you go, holy mackerel, how did it get to be 5 p.m. and did I skip lunch? Have you ever been doing something, whether that's sewing or car repair or some other thing, where just time gets away from you? Well, chances are that's something you're more likely made to do those things, or you're gifted or able to do those kind of things. It's along the lines of your gifting or your passion or both, and your abilities. You lose track of time, and then you feel energized when you're doing it. You feel fulfilled when you're doing it. Bob Dylan, the old troubadour Bob Dylan here, I think we have a picture of him. He's actually a lot older than that looking right now. He's been around a long time, you know that. A few years ago, he was asked in an interview in the Rolling Stone magazine. Here was the question. You've described what you do not as a career, but as a calling. And here's how Dylan responded to that question. He said, everyone has a calling, don't they? Some have a high calling, some have a low calling. Everyone is called, but few are chosen. There's a lot of distraction for people, so you might not even find the real you. A lot of people don't. I think that's very interesting. I think the goal of the elders here at the church, and my goal certainly, is for you to find the real you. How you fit, where you fit best, what you're made to do. And that's why we're doing the series that we're doing right now. That you would become aware of the gifting, the spiritual gifting God has given you, and you operate in that area. And I believe when you do, you'll find energy and joy in doing those things. Now, it might not be a surprise to some of you that I actually get energy and joy speaking up here. I enjoy that. I enjoy the process. I enjoy studying the scriptures. I enjoy thinking of illustrations and searching for illustrations and putting it together and being here. And I enjoy that, but I know from talking to some of you, you would rather have a root canal and a colonoscopy on the same day than to be up here speaking. Am I right? Am I right, sir, some of you? You don't want to talk in front of people, and that's okay, because we all have different giftings and abilities, and everybody should do what they're made to do. You don't need to be up here if that's not what you are energized by. I mean, I'm thrilled at Melissa and others who, I believe, have the gift of administration and the penny and finances. My goodness, that's fantastic. I would rather go through a root canal than deal with some of those things. When I try to work on a spreadsheet, I break out in hives. So it's really, I just cannot even begin to do those kind of things. I'm thrilled somebody else is doing them. So the whole point of what we're talking about is finding your gift and doing it, finding your place and serving in God's kingdom. Do what you are made to do. Now, we started this series last week from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that was kind of a primer on spiritual gifts. And we have the points that we had from last week. This is just a reminder. We're not going to talk long on this. You are gifted, each one of you. Excuse me. Each one of you has a spiritual gift. Everyone in Jesus has a gift. God chose your gift for you. You didn't choose it. You don't get to pick. God picked it for you. Why gifts? Unity, maturity, and stability. We talked about that in different places in the Scripture. And also, there's the warning there in other places in Scripture, the parables of Jesus. Don't ignore this. You will be judged with what you did with what you had. And what God has given you, and when He comes back, it's okay, I gave you this stuff, what'd you do with it? Diversity is on display, and we use the example of a symphony orchestra, where it's a lot of different people and a lot of different instruments all over the board, small and large, different sounds, but when they're together, they make good music. And that goes to the point number six, preserve unity. We actually are unified. God wants one body. God wants one good sound coming out of all of us playing our instruments together. And we need to work on that unity. And then there's hindrances to unity from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The first hindrance was, I don't belong. I don't belong. And there are some of you who just feel like that. I don't have the experience. I'm not that much of a, I haven't been a believer that long. I just don't see how I fit, and I'm kind of shy, and I'm an introvert. I'm in the background. You feel like you don't belong. There is a, what does that look like? Yeah, isn't that exciting? I put that up there for this reason. There's an old African proverb that says this. If you think you're too small to make a difference, try spending the night in a closed room with a mosquito. Yes, even you can make a difference if you feel like you're not that small. So don't say, I don't belong. And then the second hindrance to unity is just like it, the opposite rather, and that is, I don't need you. And there are some people who actually believe that. It hurts me to say this. I have friends, people that I know, I've known for a long time, and they don't feel the church is necessary. They're believers. They every once in a while will dabble in a little fellowship here, go to a little small group there, and maybe they'll meet with four people at a coffee shop, but that's about it. And they just feel like, I don't need the church. And I have a hard time understanding that based on what we're studying here and the gifts and how that all functions and operates. We really need one another. And we really help one another in that process. So beware of that thing, I don't need you. And there are people out there, people that are done with church. And I understand people have been burned by one thing or another. And most of us have been around for a while, have a bad church experience, right? There's been something what wasn't all that positive. But that's just because you've been slipped a counterfeit bill once in a while doesn't mean that all money is bad, right? So we need one another. Okay, that's a quick summary from last week. Now let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Romans 12, verse 6, and this is what it says. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Different gifts. I want to discuss a little bit of Greek with you. Some of you know that Greek is the language, Koine Greek is the language that the New Testament was written in. And I just need to say this up front, I am not a Greek scholar. Rick is a much better Greek scholar than I am. He's much better in his head than my head. I had to take it Greek and Hebrew when I was at seminary. Some people are able to open up a Greek New Testament and read it and understand it. I cannot, but I can use the cheaters. And the cheaters are different books that help me. The things I can't keep in my head, they're in the books, and so I can look those things up. And the guys who called them cheaters, and we had guys in the school I went to who called them cheaters, those are the ones with the spiritual gifts of learning who can remember all that stuff. That's not me. All right, in Greek, there is a root char, C-H-A-R, and that is used in several words, and I think we have this. And charis is the Greek word for grace. Charis. Look at the word for a free gift or a spiritual gift, charisma. You see how close those things are. Charis, if you have a daughter named Carissa or you know somebody named Carissa, that's the name is grace. That's what that is. Charisma used throughout the New Testament in a variety of ways. We'll look at some of that. And then kara is the word for joy. And so in Galatians 5:22, when it lists the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc., joy is kara, and you get joy when you focus on the grace of God, when you see how much He has done for you and the free gift of God in eternal life in Christ, and the free gifts He gives to us, and the grace He has for us. You get joy when you focus on those things. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. All right. So let's go back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 6 again. We have different charismata, that is the plural word for charisma. We have different gifts, charismata, according to the charis given to each of us. All right. You see the connection in the words, don't you? All right. And it all starts with grace, and it even goes back to our salvation, and Paul makes this point. And we're going to look to Romans chapter 5, and if you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to look at verses 15 and 17 in Romans chapter 5. And to see these words in a salvific sense, and then see that how that works right over into the gifts sense. So Romans 5:15, it'll be on the screen. But the charisma, the free gift, is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's charis, grace, and the gift that came by the grace, charis of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? He's contrasting Adam and Jesus, contrasting, comparing. To that. Sin came through one, grace came through the other. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So Paul's talking about salvation. That all of us died in Adam, all of us sinned in like he did, our father, in terms of humanity. We all sinned and we all died because of that sin. We are dead to God. But then God came along, a second Adam came along and gave us life in Him. And we have, that's grace that He's given to us. And there's we have this gift, the free gift of these things. The free gift that God has given us in salvation. And Paul almost uses grace and gift interchangeably here. Because grace is really a gift, isn't it? It's just a free gift given to us. This wonderful package of acceptance and forgiveness. Fantastic for there. So God's grace shines in us. We receive eternal life. We receive pardon for sin. We receive the justification of God. And there's nothing to earn, nothing to work on to make those things happen. It is basically holding your empty hands out and saying, God, I accept. I'm a sinner and I need the grace you have for me. That's the free gift of God. Have you received that gift? I sincerely hope so. I hope there are those, every single person here has received the free gift of God, the eternal life in the grace of God in Christ Jesus. So let's go back, Romans chapter 12, verse 6 again. And they see the Romans 6, 12 parallels the idea of salvation. Romans 5, salvation. Romans chapter 12. And we have different charismata, different gifts, according to the charis, the grace given to each of us. And I want to give you a definition of spiritual gifts you may not have heard before. I think gifts can be compared to a grace package. A grace package. Something offered to you, just like salvation was offered to you like that. That God also comes along and says, I've got a gift for you, a spiritual gift, a free gift. And it's a grace package. And grace sometimes is not just forgiveness and acceptance. Grace is also an ability to do certain things. And I think God gives us in this grace package an ability to function in His kingdom and do what He wants us to do. And so I think that's using the language we looked at, spiritual gifts are a grace package. You just have to receive. You have it, whether or not you know it. You have the spiritual gift from God. You just have to basically hold your empty hand out and receive that salvation gift. Here, Paul puts that together in Romans 6. The wages of sin is death, but the charisma of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. By the way, charisma in the New Testament is free gift, is always used from God to us. It is never used from us to another person or from us to God. It is always something that God gives to us. God graces us with these things. All right, now, so you believe in Jesus. When you start, you get the free gift of eternal life. You also get a grace package that is a supernatural ability to serve God and others in His kingdom, to extend His kingdom. We all get that. You have one if you're a believer in Jesus. Do you know what your gift is? I'm sure that some of you are operating in that gift in one way or another. You might not even be able to put a title onto it, but you're doing it. That's all right. If you are not sure and you want to find out, that's why we're doing this series. We want everybody to know how they're gifted by God and to be functioning in that way, because I believe you'll be fulfilled and the church will be extended, the kingdom of God will be extended when we are operating in the way we were made. So that's why we're talking about that. You're going to be most excited and least stressed when you're doing what you're made to do. Not necessarily volunteering for a job in church because you know nobody's doing it and you just got to do it and you're cranking it out. You're doing it because you're made to do that, and that's going to help you and help us at the same time. Not only will you be fulfilled, and by the way, working in your gift is not all about your fulfillment. Working in the area of your gifting and calling from God is about what God can do through you in His kingdom to solidify His kingdom in the church and outside of the church. And in the process, you'll get fulfilled, but it's not primarily about your fulfillment. And we see this in a passage we looked at last week, and that's Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at that again. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Why? To equip His people for the works of service. Normally we tend to think of those different giftings, they do all the work. And Paul's saying, no, they equip people to do the work of service, the serving in the church, so that the body of Christ may be built up till we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by the wind, every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so when we're firing on all cylinders, each part doing its work, the body is being built up together, it is stable in teaching, it is mature, it's growing in maturity, and we are unified together as we submit to one another and do what we're supposed to do. Maturity, stability, and unity. And that last line that we just saw there, as each part does its work, that's all of us. And whether that's behind the scenes or in front of the scenes, and whether that's working with things or working with people, it really doesn't matter. When you are doing what you're made to do, we're all doing our parts. That's what we want to see happen. Maturity, stability, and unity, and we become useful parts in God's kingdom. Do you know your gift? I hope you do. That's what we're talking about right here. When I see people in the church welcoming and greeting others here, and you're enjoying it, I just love to see that. I love to hear about those working with kids and then tell me with joy in their voices about what God is doing in these children and this children. And I love to watch people operating behind the scenes, whether it's running sound or the computers back there or doing something that some repair that needs in the church or fixing things, taking care of meals for other people, planning potlucks, arranging help for those in our community who call the church and say, hey, I need some help. Can you help me? Those kind of things, fantastic. When I see you doing that, it's just really warms my heart. It's good. And all these people, I suspect, are operating in the areas of their gifting, or at least in abilities, and all this makes the church move forward. Now, before we close today, I want to look at one more passage primarily that is really instructive when it comes to gifts, and that's 1 Peter chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 10. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each of you, there's that word again, each of you, each one of you, should use whatever gift, same word that Paul uses, charisma, you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace, of his charis, in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And Peter can't help but erupt in a little benediction or, you know, praise to that when this is what God does through these things. There it is again, and it's not just the Apostle Paul. Here it is Peter using the same words, charisma and charis, free gift and grace. Each of us have a part to choose. Peter says those of us who have been given this kind of grace must prove faithful stewards. In the New Testament, a steward in a larger household with a number of people and a number of tasks going on in that household, a steward was responsible to make sure everybody had from the master who owned the house the things that they needed, whether food or equipment or pay. And so the faithful steward in a household in the first century was the one who got things from the master and distributed them to the people working in the household. And Peter says, you should be faithful stewards of what God has given you. Use that for his kingdom and his glory. Now, I think Peter might have gotten this from Jesus. You know, Jesus gives a parable in Luke chapter 12. And Peter actually asks Jesus a question about this. The parable is about the watchfulness. And the idea is those in a household, you know, you've got that large household and you have everybody serving and doing things. And all those people who are serving the master, who is away at the time, ought to keep their eyes on the horizon, looking for the return of the master, so that they, when the master comes back, they are found doing what he has given them to do and fulfilling their tasks that they've been given to do. So Jesus tells that parable, and then we see this in Luke 12, starting in verse 41. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? He just wants some clarification. Here's what Jesus said. The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager? There's the steward of the household. Who is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, that steward, my master's taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. It doesn't sound too positive, does it? Not at all. So Jesus explains to Peter about what being a good steward is. You are doing what you were made to do, distributing the master's goods in a faithful way, you know, before the master returns. And perhaps Peter remembers this when he writes the letter in 1 Peter chapter 4 and says, whatever gift God has given you, be faithful stewards of this, distributing that. So that you're found doing that when the master returns. So master has given us salvation grace, free gift, and he's given us gift grace, a grace package. And we're going to be held accountable for what we did with what we've been given when the master returns. Now Peter, rather than Paul, you know, Paul in several places lists the gifts in there. Peter does not list gifts. Instead, he gives us categories of gifts. And these can be divided into two categories, speaking and serving. So he classifies all those generally in speaking gifts or serving gifts. And I think when you look at the lists of gifts, You can see that speaking gifts. You know, there are people who don't mind being up front generally, and they don't mind. Here are some gifts that may be speaking type gifts: prophecy, teaching, tongues and interpretation, apostles, leadership, encouragement, exhortation, words of knowledge and wisdom, evangelists, pastors, that kind of thing. There's the speaking gifts. There are also serving gifts. And chances are people would rather be a little behind the scenes, not up front, but somewhere else, serving. And some of the serving gifts may be here: administration, giving, service or helps, mercy, faith, healing. And I used encouraging in the first one. If you have encouragement in a public context like this, that may be a speaking gift. If you encourage somebody one-on-one, that may be a serving gift. The same thing with discerning of spirits. Somebody can be discerning of spirits in a large group setting, or they can do it one-on-one in a counseling setting. So some of these things are flexible. I don't think there's hard and fast, all speaking, all serving. But if you are more of a behind-the-scenes person, if you're more of an introvert, maybe you are on the serving side rather than on the speaking side. And that's great. A lot of people who have speaking gifts usually don't mind being up front. Now, Peter continues on and he tells the people who have speaking gifts how to do it. And this is what he says: if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. You give people God's word. That's what you do. And I'm very conscious of this as a pastor, and I love to preach. But one of the places, the things I do when I'm getting ready to preach, I want to take a text or texts, and that's the center. That's the focus. That's what I want to teach on right there. I want to teach God's word. And when Paul gave his admonition to Timothy, he said that very thing: preach the word. Be ready in season and out. I take that to heart. And if you have a teaching gift, you're going to want to pass along the words of God to other people. Not necessarily your own words. I'm sure it'll be mixed in with your words, but primarily the words of God. Now, those of you with serving gifts, maybe behind the scenes, Peter gives this admonition. Here's what he says: if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So you servers, you helpers, don't grind out your service in your own strength. Don't white-knuckle your service. Ask God for help. Ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit before you go to serve. So you're serving in the energy and power of the Holy Spirit, not in your own power. Speaking gift people can do the same. I mean, I pray that regularly, weekly. You know, Lord, let me speak in your strength and power. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I don't want to do this on my own. And you can do that as well. The elders pray Sunday mornings. Oftentimes, before the service, we pray that God would use his word in ACE, in the kids' zone, in the service, and however it comes about there. So, does that make sense? You got it? Whatever gift you've been given, use God's words, use God's strength. Then Peter tells us why he tells us to do that. So that, here's the reason why he wants you to. You got speaking gifts, you got serving gifts, you speak God's words, you use God's strength. Why? So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. You want Jesus to be honored. Jesus is the head of the body. In this illustration of the body and different ligaments and different parts, Jesus is the head. He's the brains of the outfit here. And we want to do what he says, and we want all the glory and honor to go to him, because he started it all, did he not? I mean, it was God who decided to come to earth to us, to save us, and to give us salvation grace, and then to give us a grace package of gifts. So if that's the case, if it all started with God, it all ends with God, then we want God to get the glory. Absolutely. So, God gives us salvation grace freely. He gives us a grace package, a spiritual gift that's not deserved, and we are supposed to pass those things along, and who gets the credit? God gets the credit. Absolutely. People praise God for the things he has done. And you know what I think is cool about this? God is inviting each one of us to minister with him. Take his words, take his strength, and do ministry with him, which is fantastic. We get to partner with God in what we're doing, in serving the church, in serving other people, serving people outside the church. What a cool idea to be able to partner with God. And it all starts with him, and it all ends with him. And Paul thinks about the amazing salvation we've been given and the plan of God that's absolutely fantastic. And in Romans chapter 11, at the end, he kind of erupts in this praise, thinking about just the plan God has for us. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. And then he asks rhetorical questions. Who has known the mind of the Lord? We know just a small part of the mind of the Lord, very little. Who has been his counselor? Have any of us been God's counselor? No. Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? None of us. None of us have earned what we have. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Amen to that. And that last line gets me because it shows the origin and destiny of all this talk about gifts and grace, where we're, what we've got and where we're headed. For from him and through him with his words and his strength and for him, his glory, are all things. That's our gifts and service included. To him be the glory forever. Hopefully, you all will learn what your gift is, and Lord willing, in the next week or two, we are going to give a test, an inventory to find those things and find out the best place where you can serve God here in the church or outside the church. So you do speak God's words and you serve in God's strength so God gets the glory. So you greeters, I know there are greeters here and I love what you do at the doors. Do you serve in God's strength? Do you pray before you greet? Lord, fill me and help me. I want to operate in your strength here. Do you worship people? Do you bow your heads at some point and say, Lord, I want you to play through me. I want you to sing through me. Be honored in what we do here this morning in worship. You creators, you installers, you decorators, you repairers, do you serve in God's strength? You teachers, you Awana leaders and Awana helpers, you home group leaders, do you use God's very words in what you do, in teaching God's strength? I trust you do and will, and there are others serving too. And when you do, God gets the glory, and that's what we want. Jesus lifted up. He's the head. He's the brains of this outfit. We want him glorified and lifted up. Now, you probably already have, some of you have a sense of how you're gifted and where you fit. That's great. You're doing it. Keep at it. Fantastic. I think you will be most fulfilled, and God's kingdom will grow when you're doing what you were made to do, the way God designed you. It doesn't matter if you're an extrovert or an introvert. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you like working more with things or working with people. It doesn't matter. If your gifting is behind the scenes or up front, those things don't matter. You can use your giftings anywhere. It doesn't even have to be in the church. Are you aware of that? That your gifting can be in operation outside the church, and God can be drawing other people to him through your gifting outside the church. These guys in the Bible, Joseph, Daniel, and Nehemiah, where did they serve God? Yeah, government. They serve God in government. Can you believe that? People really can't serve God in government, can they? I know some aren't. But they could actually serve God in government. They did. You and I could serve God in local schools. You could serve God in your neighborhood. You can serve God with the people that you work with. You can operate in your gifting and encourage or build up or serve or do whatever in the church or outside of the church. It really doesn't matter. We want you to be in operation of those things. You will have fulfillment, and God's kingdom will be extended when we do. Years ago, I think in the 50s and 60s, Richard Halverson was the chaplain for the U.S. Senate, and he was a pastor in Maryland at the same time. And at the end of his church service, he would have people repeat this thing: wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. Christ, who indwells you by the power of his Spirit, wants to do something in and through you. Believe this and go in his grace, his love, his power. the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't that a good benediction? Let me pray this over you. Let's, as we close, would you close your eyes and receive this from God. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. Christ, who indwells you by the power of His Spirit, wants to do something in and through you. Believe this and go in His grace, His love, His power. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Brother Gary is going to come up and lead us in communion. We have an opportunity today to remember what the Lord has done for us.